and verses 6 and 7. We've been talking about the Son of God and the Son of Man. We've been dealing with Jesus's both natures that are all wrapped up into one. And let's read Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Say, God gave me a son. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government, notice his government's going to increase. How does his government increase? As more and more people come to the knowledge of the truth, and they accept Jesus as their Savior, that's how God's government increases. Amen? And aren't you glad that we work for the same government? It's not a democracy. It's a theocracy where Jesus is king. Amen? And as king, he issues commands, and he expects those who follow him to obey his commands. Amen? And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Aren't you? You know, people want to say peace on earth. Peace is here. You just got to hook up with the Prince of Peace and you can have peace. Upon the throne, and there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And I want to go a little bit different direction today. And I want to see how we can benefit from God's love that he showed us. I mean, for God so loved the world, what did he do because he loved us? He gave. Giving is a sign of love. Amen? Love gives. God is a giver. And his gifts are awesome. And his gift didn't come under the tree, it came on the tree. Amen? And the gift that God gave us is the gift that keeps on giving. It has an eternal guarantee. But there are two things that as believers in Christ that we need to have in order to operate in God's kingdom. Number one, we have to have the love of God. Say, God loves me. Say it again. Say, God loves me. One more time, say, God loves me. No one else, you may feel like no one else in this world loves you, but God does. And he's proven it time and time again. He has proven his love. So we need to have the love of God. And when we have the love of God, that's going to give us a love for God. You know, you can't have a love for God if you don't have the love of God. In other words, God gives you his love to help you love him and to love others. Listen, Jesus walked on this earth. He knows how people think. He knows how people are. He knows what motivates people. And he was able to say to the people who crucified him, who mocked him, who criticized him, he was able to look at him and say, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. Because he is a God of love. And it's so important for us as believers to know that God loves us. This is what Christmas is all about. Now, I mean, December wasn't the time that Jesus was born, but this is the time that we celebrate his birth. Amen? And You know, there, the first Christmas, Jesus was born, and now every year we celebrate an anniversary or birthday. How many of you remember the time that you got born again when you accepted the Lord? You know, isn't it awesome how God will keep, that's something that's kept in your memory, you know? Maybe you didn't like your first birth so you can be born again. Maybe you had a rough time in life, but God gives you an opportunity to be born again. And we're not going to see the kingdom of God unless we get born again, amen? And there's so much that comes with God's gift that he's given us. So let me just take a moment now and just to remind you how much God loves you. We're gonna give you the love of God. Then we're gonna look at our love for God. And God wants us to do something today. I'm gonna get to that. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Follow along with me. Go to Job 14:15. Job 14:15. If you don't want to turn to it, you can follow on the screen, because we have sharp operators. Praise God for people who operate the equipment, amen? God loves you because he will answer you when you call. Did you know that love answers? Love doesn't ignore. You shall call and I will answer you. You will have a desire to the work of your hands. I want you to know that God loves you because he will answer you when you call. The only requirement that you need, that a person needs to be saved, is to whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be what? How easy is that? Okay? Go to Psalm 146:8. Psalm 146:8. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises them that are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. God loves you because he opens blind eyes and he raises the lowly. You may have had a low state. You may have been beaten down. You may have been restricted and confined in your before you knew Christ, but Christ, he's the glory and the lifter of your head. He's come to take you out of the miry clay. God loves you because he opens blinded eyes. Before Christ, we were all blind. And our eyes needed to be opened to know that we need a Savior. People who have never accepted the Lord, their eyes need to be opened. That's one prayer that you could pray for the lost, is that God would open their eyes. He opens the blind eyes and he raises them that are bowed down, the lowly. Jesus takes you higher. He doesn't take you lower. He takes you up, not down. Amen? I want you to hear how much God loves you. I want you to get excited about God's love. Amen? Because, you know, the love of God will cause people to react differently. Tomorrow night, I'm just going to touch on people's response. You know, when Jesus came to this earth, not everybody welcomed him. Herod wanted to kill him. He said, tell me where the child is going to be born so I can go worship him. Yeah, he wanted to worship him with a dagger. See, so the love of God, not everybody will accept the love of God. And God knows that. Not everybody will receive of the love of God for whatever reason. But you know what? Don't be one of those people. Amen? Be a person who opens your heart to the love of God and let him fill it. All right, let's go to the next one. Jeremiah 31:3. Jeremiah 31:3. And it says this: The Lord has appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. God loves you because his love is everlasting. There's no sign of weakening in God's love for you. There's no sign of God's love diminishing for you. God loves you with an everlasting love. And it has nothing to do with everlasting batteries. Because batteries will run out. Amen? And in God's plan, the batteries are included. The batteries of God are called the Holy Ghost. He's the power generator. He's the power of God. Amen? And God's given you his power generator. Hallelujah. You know, I want you to get excited because God loves you. Say, God loves me. God loves you because he gave you his only begotten Son. And whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So when you receive the love of God, you can have everlasting life. John 3:16. Amen. Put it up on the screen. John 3:16. God loves you because he gave his Son for you. He gave you the greatest gift, which is salvation that comes only through his Son Jesus. Are you part of the world? Well, that means God loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave. How many sons did he have? He gave you the most precious, the most costly, the most expensive gift you could ever receive. That's how much value God placed on you and on me and on us. All right, let's go to the next one. Go to John 16:27. I'm surprised that you're not getting more excited about how much God loves you. This is good stuff, isn't it? You know, the gospel is good news. It's not bad news. If someone's giving you bad news, maybe it's not the gospel, but maybe you need to take the news and repent. Amen? John 16:27. The Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came out of God. So God loves you because you love God and you believe that Jesus came from God. God loves those who love him. Amen? And if your love has waxed cold for the Lord, you can renew it today. Amen? Today is a love warming pot day. We don't want you lukewarm here. We don't want God spitting you out of his mouth. We want you hot on fire for God. Amen? I want some people who are so in love with God that they don't care what people think. They don't care what God tells them to do. They'll just do it without question because they're on fire hot for God. You can believe what God is saying, how much God is saying today, how much he loves you. Let's go on to Romans 5, verse 6. Hallelujah. Romans 5, 6. For when you were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And go down to verse 8. But God commends his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God loves you because while you were yet a sinner, while you were against him, while you weren't even following him, he loved you. And because of his love, that turned the course of your life around. Amen? So God loves you because while you were a sinner, while you were separated from the life of God, while you were doing your own thing, God loved you. He was patient with you. He led you along a path. He moved heaven and earth to get your attention. God loves you. He so desires a relationship with us. He wants a vibrant relationship with every believer. And we can have it. Amen? God loves you. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. I'm just pointing out some things. How many know God wrote you the biggest love letter of all time? Called the B-I-B-L-E. You know, God's like Hallmark. He cared enough to send the very best. He wrote you a love letter made up of 66 books, 40 different authors, over a 1,500 year, and they're all talking about one gift, Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, how much mercy does he have? He's rich in mercy. Someone who's rich has a lot to give out. God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. God loves you because he's rich in mercy and his love for you is great. There's no one on this planet that is more passionate about you than God, than Jesus. He loves you with a great love. His love is so great that we can't even comprehend it sometimes. His love can pass understanding, but we can still be recipients of it. We can still be beneficiaries of his love. Some of you are starting to get excited. Look at verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, he has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. God loves you because he made you alive together with Christ. He's resurrected you. Praise God. If you don't think your testimony is so great, all of us have been delivered from death. Death is separation from the Father. When Adam sinned, he was separated from God. He was separated from the life of God. But in Jesus Christ, he bridged that separation. He brought it together. He bridged the gap. He repaired the breach. And because Jesus did what he did, we can now experience the goodness of God's love. Say, God loves me. God loves me. Go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. This morning you will be getting a tour of the New Testament today. And I'm privileged to be your tour guide. As we pass along the way, I will be pointing out important information that you would like to know. I'm in rare form today. See, I figured I wouldn't tell you any jokes in the beginning. I'll just include them in the middle. I didn't plan any of those, but the Lord's bringing them out. Amen. 1 John 3, 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not because it knew him not. God loves you because he calls you his son, and that includes daughters. God calls you his child. He calls you his own. He said you're a peculiar person. He didn't mean you're weird. He means that as ownership of you, because you've invited him into your heart. And because you've invited him into your heart, you now commit the rest of your life to living like him, to following his example, to doing what he commands us, to accomplishing his will. I wouldn't want to be a believer who stands before the Lord in the day of judgment not having done what he wanted me to do. Because that's just telling him that I don't love him. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll what? Keep my commandments. Keep his commandments. You want a little bit more? Let's go to 1 John 4 and verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. God loves you because he came and dwelt among you. He put on flesh. He experienced the limitations that a mortal person has. He is the Word made flesh. He dwelt among us. He showed us how to obey God. He showed us how to walk in God's kingdom. He showed us how to operate in God's kingdom. Where do you ever read in the Gospels where Jesus had a bad hair day even? He didn't even have a bad hair day. Why? You know, 5,000 people show up for dinner. That would send us into a comatose shock. You know? But not for Jesus. He said, what do you have? He simply looked for what he had. He showed us how to trust the Father. He showed us how to love the Father. He showed us how to receive from the Father's love. And at the end, he trusted God from beginning to end, because when he was on the cross, he said, into your hands I commit my spirit. He trusted God with his very life. And God always came through. Now, if he did that for Jesus, do you believe he'll do it for you? Because we are joint heirs with Jesus. What he gets, we get. Hallelujah. So God, say, God loves me. I want you to know today that God loves you. You're here today because you're benefiting of his love. God loves you. Go down to verse 16, 1 John 4. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. Did you know that you can know it and believe it? That God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. Now go over to the Gospel of John, chapter 15. The Gospel of John, chapter 15. The thing about knowing that God loves you, okay, now we have the love of God. Knowing that God loves you. I could give you many, many more examples of why God loves you, but I think that's sufficient. Now you got to take the love of God and you've got to develop a love for God. How do you do that? You abide in him. You abide in his love. John chapter 15. I am the true vine, verse 1, and my Father is the husbandman. That means farmer. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that he may bring forth more fruit. He said, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me. Not enough people are hanging out with God. There's not a lot of people that want to have extended times of worship like we had this morning. There's a lot of churches that are only 1 hour. We're not one of them. Is it wrong to have an hour service? Not unless the Lord tells you to. We come close to having an hour on Wednesday. But I want you to notice, abide in me and I in you, because you can't do this alone. You need to co-mingle with God. When you co-mingle with God through Jesus Christ, a chemical reaction takes place. Amen? You know, hydrogen and oxygen have to have the right mixture so that you and I can breathe. If the mixture was wrong, we'd suffocate. But because there's a right mixture, the air is fine and it sustains our life. And we need the right mixture with God. We need to abide in God. When you abide in Him, He'll abide in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except you abide in the vine. He says that again. What point are you trying to get across, Lord? Well, look at verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him. When you're abiding in Christ, what fruit do you think is going to be produced? Much fruit? Fruit of the Spirit? Right? You're going to act, you're going to talk, and you're going to live like Jesus. When you're not abiding in Him, you're going to reflect whoever you're abiding in. You might reflect yourself. Some people are caught up in themselves. Look at me, I'm so good. Look at me, look at me. Then you're going to reflect your own qualities and characteristics. Some people are workaholics. They reflect the qualities and characteristics of their job. Work, 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 work. Busy as a beaver. Go, 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 go. They're abiding in work more than they're abiding in anything else. Uh-oh, now I'm hitting some things. Okay, Pastor, that's enough. Not finished yet. Some people abide in others. They're codependent. They can't do without another person. They can't be their own person. We're supposed to be dependent on the Lord. And great for the people that God's put in your life to help you. How many know we all need help sometimes? I'm not saying to refuse help, but I'm saying that sometimes people get too caught up in the opinion of others. They're abiding in what others think. And because of what others think, they don't do what they're supposed to do because of what others think. We're supposed to abide in Him. We're supposed to abide in the Word. Do you realize that when you read Scripture, God is painting an image of who you are? We need to know who we are in Christ Jesus. We need to know that we're righteous. Say, I'm righteous. Say, I'm more than a conqueror. Say, I'm a can-do all things person. Every scripture that you read, well, God wants you to imitate His Word. He wants you to become like the Word. You can actually put, just as He, the Word became flesh, our flesh can become the Word, but it comes from the inside out. When you get the Word on the inside of you and it starts to transform your thinking, it will then transform your life. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withered. A branch withers because it loses its life. It's disconnected from the life source. And when you're disconnected from the life source, you will wither. You'll dry up. And a withered, dried up branch is good for burning, to be cast into the fire. You're not a dead wood. You're an alive wood. As long as you stay connected to the vine. Now, You might say, well, Pastor Doug, it's the day before Christmas Eve, man. Why are you laying on this? Because God wants us to know this. Believe me, I didn't sit down and choose to preach what I'm preaching today. Wait till I get to where we need to finish up here. Okay? Verse 7. If you abide in me, so that tells me that abiding is not automatic. You've got to make a conscious decision and effort to abide in him. You have to study to show yourself approved, a workman who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You need to find out where scriptures are that apply to your situations. Hello? Are you there or have you gone home? You know, that's why it's important to become skilled in the Word of God. You've got to, you know what, if you can't reference information, that information doesn't do you any good. How many wanted to call someone, but you didn't have their number? If you don't have their number, guess what? You can't make their call. Now, you might call information, you know, dial up, okay, Holy Ghost, where's that scripture? There are times when he helps you, but you know what? That doesn't mean he doesn't expect you to study. God expects all of us to study. However we learn, he expects us to study. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Now, is that powerful? Oh, I want to be able to pray and get whatever I want. Well, are you abiding in the right place? No. Okay, well then you don't qualify. You better check your abiding. What are you abiding in? That comes from a result of hanging out, dwelling with, being with the Lord in his presence. Amen? I counted in 10 verses, he said, abide in me 9 times. What's the Lord trying to say? Abide in him. Abide in his love. See, we have the love of God. We heard how God loves us. But now the question is, how do you love him? What do you do for him to show you that you love him? What have you given to him to show him that you love him? Because love gives, doesn't it? See, that's what Christianity is about. It's about taking the love of God and having a love for God and developing it and walking in it. God expects us to love him. And you know what? The good thing about God is he'll love you whether you love him or not. You just will never benefit from his love because you never love him. A person who doesn't love God will not benefit from the rewards of God. Am I talking to someone today? Just keep smiling and looking forward and nobody will know it's you. Go with me to Revelation chapter 2. Now we're shifting gears. I want to talk about the love that you have for God. See, if God so loved the world that he gave, then we so love God that we give. And I'm not just talking money. I'm talking time. I'm talking effort. I'm talking the best of ourselves. Well, I don't want to give that. Well, then that shows you love that more than him. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, right. These things, says the Lord, says he that holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. The stars referred to the messengers, and the candlesticks referred to the churches. I know your works and your labor and your patience, and how you cannot bear them which are evil. So God knows some things about you. He knows everything about you. God knows what you're thinking. He knows your motive. He knows why you do what you do. That's why he's the only qualified one to judge your motives. Okay? And you have tried them which say they are apostles and are not. You know, there's a lot of people that say they're one thing, but they're not really that thing. You can put any kind of label on an empty can. That doesn't mean there's anything in the can. Amen? And has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and have not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you, because you have left your first what? Uh-oh. They started loving something more than God. But yet they were doing good things. But maybe the motive for them doing good things. You know what? We should come to church because we love God. No other reason. Jesus established his church on this earth to do his will. Because everybody needs something to make something happen. You have a car and you drive it, but you walked here. Some of you would have been a long walk, right? What? You used that car to get here. That car was designed to get you from point A to point B. It serves a purpose. Well, the church has a purpose too. It's to carry out God's will here on earth. Jesus himself said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Does that mean every church is good? No, we're like Baskin Robbins. There's a flavor for everybody. And you know what? This church may not be someone's flavor. That's okay. You might like Tutti Frutti or Chocolate Swirl or whatever. But I do know that I am very passionate about preaching the Word of God. That doesn't mean I'm a perfect pastor. I'm a human being. I make mistakes. I miss it. I have flaws. Pastor Doug has flaws. Yes, I do. But so do you. We all have flaws. One thing that you can do with God's love is you can make allowances for people. Because guess what? There might be some time where I let you down. There might be some time where Pastor Fiona lets you down. But you know what? Make an allowance. Because think about how many times we've let others down. This church left their first love. They lost the passion about what came first. God led me to talk on this today because he doesn't want us to lose our first love. He doesn't want us to get so caught up in life. And believe me, life happens. Like Ferris Bueller, life moves by fast. You better stop off and take a look for a while. If you ever remember Ferris Bueller. Notice who left. They left. God never leaves. If anybody is out of love, it's not because God moved. It's because someone moved, and it was us. Remember, therefore, from where you are fallen, and repent. Turn around, go the opposite, go the other way. Stop complaining and start asking for forgiveness. And start forgiving. Amen? I mean, if you want to hold on to the hurts and the things that has happened to you in the past, go ahead, but you will never move forward from that unless you let it go. And you're only going to let it go when you give yourself to love. That's God. And do the first works. When a husband and wife fall out of love, they need to start doing the first works. How did you get in love? You need to start doing the first works. What first attracted you to Jesus? What first brought you to accept Jesus Christ into your heart? Do the first works. Go back and do it again. God will give you a do-over. He'll give you a clean slate. Remember from where you are fallen and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto you quickly and will remove your candlestick out of his place. Notice his place. Except you repent. That means that we have a period of time. Now, God's eternal, but we operate in time. This world is revolving in time. It's keeping time. There's a rhythm. 60 seconds in a minute, 60 minutes in an hour, 24 hours in a day. There's a rhythm. And that tells me that if we don't take the window of opportunity, we could miss the window of opportunity to repent. And I guarantee you that this is not just speaking to one person. This is speaking to a church. But if you have, so he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, I want you to go to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 9. And I'm going to close with this today. I want to tell you a little bit about Solomon, who was the third king of Israel. 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 1. It came to pass when Solomon had finished the building of the house of the Lord, and the king's house, and all Solomon's desire, which he was pleased to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon a second time, as he had appeared unto him at Gibeon. So Solomon was in a building program, and he built these things, and just as God is building his kingdom, you know, I mean, who better to build a kingdom than a carpenter who has the Holy Spirit without measure and all the tools of heaven? You know? Jesus doesn't have to take a nail and pound the nail. He can tell the nail, go put yourself in the wood, and it will. And it'll be sturdy. Amen? So Solomon had built all these things, and the Lord appeared to him a second time. The Lord said unto him, I have heard your prayer and your supplication that you have made before me. I have hallowed this house which you have built to put my name there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. So he built this, he built the temple. God was pleased. God's presence was going to dwell there. Now look at verse 4. And if you will walk before me, as David your father walked in the integrity of your heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded you, and will keep my statutes and my judgments, then, notice, Solomon had to follow the command first, and after following command, then God would give him the reward. I will establish the throne of your kingdom upon Israel forever, as I have promised David your father, saying, there shall not fail a man upon the throne of Israel. But, how many know that God's got conditions to his promises? If you shall at all turn from following me, you or your children. Uh-oh, parents. That means you better be praying for your children if they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. You better intercede. You better cry out to God for them. You better plead the blood of Jesus over them. Amen. You better stand in faith for them. And will not keep my commandments and my statutes which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them. Was Solomon serving God at this time? But he was warning him that if you go and serve other gods, things aren't going to work out. Verse 7, then I will cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them. Wow. And this house which I have hallowed for my name, I will cast out of my sight, and Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all people. Wow. Does it pay to follow God? Does it cost not to? Absolutely. It pays to follow God, but it'll cost you not to. Okay? And now let's go over to chapter 11. And let's see what happened. It's directly related to Revelation 2. But King Solomon loved many strange women. Foreign women. Don't think that they're weird, but they were just foreign. Okay? Together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites, all enemies of Israel. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go into them, neither shall they come into you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. So what happened? His first love was God, because he prayed the prayer, God, I don't have any wisdom. Give me wisdom to govern your people. And God not only gave him wisdom, but he gave him riches. He gave him more than what he asked for. He was king. He had peace in his kingdom. But all of a sudden now, something, he loved something more than his first love. He left his first love and went with something else, which led him into idolatry. Now, notice this. And he started worshiping their gods. Go down to verse 9. And the Lord was angry with Solomon. Well, I thought God's a God of love. Yeah, but if you tick him off, he gets ticked off. What ticks off God? Read Proverbs 6. He said, there's six things I hate, seven that I like. This is my version that really tick him off. There's a proud look, a lying tongue, those who shed innocent blood, those who are swift to run to evil, a false witness, those who sow discord, and those are things that God hates. Verse 9, so the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord. Well, I guess Solomon really wasn't saved. Well, if you're really saved, your heart can't be turned. Not true. If that were true, then God would have never said anything about repentance. If we could never lose what God has given us, then we would never have to repent. But repentance was the first message Jesus preached. It was the first message John the Baptist preached. And it was the first message that Peter preached. Don't have time to go into it, but that's so. Okay, verse 10. Okay, you turn from the Lord, which appeared to him twice. He had two divine encounters. God appeared to him, and he still turned. and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods. But he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Listen, if you don't keep the commands fresh, you can lose them. You can forget about them. And look, now verse 11 amazed me. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as you, as this is done of you, and you have not kept my covenant and my statutes which I have commanded you, I will surely end the kingdom from you and will give it to your servant. Jeroboam was a servant because of his skill and his wisdom. You can read it later on in the chapter. Solomon put him in charge of building Joseph's house. And God gave the kingdom to a servant of Solomon. Because Solomon turned at this point in his life, he left his first love. And when you, and you know what? Because of God's grace, because of the heritage of David, God said, this is not going to happen in your lifetime. And you know what? Solomon tried to kill Jeroboam, but he fled to Egypt. But God said, I'm going to give it to your servant, which wasn't even part of his family line. Do you realize that if a family doesn't obey God, God will go to another family? And he'll do, anybody that's willing to, and obedient to God, he'll work with you. Now, this is where we are today here at Victory Christian Fellowship, 2012, December 23rd. The greatest thing that we could do is honor the Lord's gift by receiving the love of God and then turning around and having a love for God with the love that we have just received. Amen? And what the Lord laid on my heart for us to do as a church is to repent. Maybe your first love is not in danger. Maybe you're a hot, passionate follower of Jesus Christ. Maybe there's nothing interfering with your relationship. But just join us for the benefit of the doubt. Amen? And what I'm going to do is, I'm going to lead the way. And I'm going to repent before God, because he said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. I believe that we've got some wicked ways. And it starts from the top down. But I believe that because we're going to repent today, God's grace and mercy is going to flood this place. He is rich in mercy. And I know that, you know, there are things that have interfered with people's walk with the Lord. Because you know what? When your walk with the Lord is interfered with, you can't hide it. You can't hide it. Adam tried to hide, but he couldn't. So, if you have some songs, maybe that are not on a more slower pace. And Heavenly Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, as pastor, along with my wife, Father, who is my co-pastor, Father, come and join me, my love. You know what? Sometimes we got to prepare the place to receive the gift. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you today, Father, and we humble ourselves. And Lord, we want to say that we're sorry for missing the mark, not doing what we should do all the time. Lord, not heeding your voice. Lord, limiting you because of our limitations and our fears, Lord. We want to repent right now in the name of Jesus. We want to stand before you, Father, and we want to come clean. Lord, we want a clean heart and a clean mind. We want to be renewed in the spirit of our minds in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we're sorry for not doing what we should, not obeying your commands, not heeding your statutes, not doing your will, Father, in the name of Jesus. We stand before you, Father, and we repent over this body that you have placed us here, Father. And Lord, we want to represent you well. We want to bring honor and glory to you, Father. So, Father, we say we're sorry. And we receive your forgiveness and your grace. And we love you, Lord. We receive your love. Father, and we ignite our love for you in even greater ways. And we bless you and praise you in the name of Jesus. And Father, I pray now over these people, Lord, as the Holy Spirit begins to move on every heart, Father. And Lord, I begin that we cry out as a body and we come clean, Father. We repent, Lord. We don't want to leave our first love in the name of Jesus. We want our first love to be hot and to be passionate, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, let the Holy Spirit and the fire burn. Bring conviction on our hearts today in the name of Jesus. And Lord, clean up this house. Clean up this people. We cry out to you, Father, for a fresh touch and a fresh move of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Sometimes sins are just like weights. They got to be laid aside. They've been burdening you down. They've been weighing you down, and you can't run the race. You got to lay aside that weight. You got to let go of those things. You got to give them to God. You got to transfer them to him. Cast your care into him because he cares for you. And God will bring healing. He'll heal this land. He'll heal the family. He'll heal your heart. He'll heal everything if you let him, if you turn to him. Don't try to do it on your own. You can't. You can't do it on your own. We need each other. We need Jesus. We need the Holy Spirit. We need his word. We need each other. We cry out to you, oh God. Oh, we thank you, Lord, that when we repent, Father, times of refreshing come from your presence. Oh, we give you thanks and praise. And whatever the Lord puts in your heart to do, if you want to stand, if you want to sit, if you want to cry, whatever you need to do, do it. Don't reason it, just do it.
Yes, Jesus loves me.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Yes.
Oh, we thank you, Lord God, for the faithful love of God.
Yes,
the steadfast
Jesus
love of the Lord
me.
Never ceases. Oh, hallelujah, Father. Your steadfast love never ceases,
yeah,
in the name of
yes,
Jesus. Your love's going to take us higher, Father. Father, we repent for not doing what you told us to do, not doing what we know to do, even things we didn't know, sins of omission, Father, sins that we didn't know, Lord. We repent in the name of Jesus. We turn from our wickedness. And we trust you, Father, to make up the difference in our life. Hallelujah. Oh, we give you thanks and praise. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Sing, Cassie. He loves us.
Maybe some adjustments need to be made in the schedules. First things need to be first, not second, third, or fourth. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then he'll add things. Maybe we could just do better. Maybe we could just be faithful. Maybe we can love others more. I feel like the Lord is setting the body aright. I feel like we're going through an adjustment. Hallelujah. The parts are being shifted. They're being moved around in the name of Jesus. He's setting the things in place that need to be in place. God is holy, and we can be holy because he is holy. We should accept nothing less than holiness, righteousness, justice. Hallelujah, Father, I thank you for moving across this place. Holy Spirit, right now, breathe on us. Send your fire, Father. Send the fire of the Lord in the name of Jesus. Oh, we give you thanks and praise, Father, for your fire to purge
to
and to renew and to energize. Father, renew a right spirit within us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, the pure joy of knowing the Lord, knowing that he loves you, knowing that you can walk with him. Hallelujah. Knowing that you can do great things in Jesus' name.
Now we're not supposed to be.
Oh, Father, we thank you. Thank you for cleansing us. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you, Lord. You are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, we thank you, Lord, that we have a new slate. Father, we have a clean record. Today is a new day. Enjoy the dawning of a new day and a new and fresh anointing. You will experience and you will see the greatness of our God. Now, after repenting, we should rejoice. Amen? We shouldn't stay in a sorrowful state, because once you repent, guess what? The moment you repent, the Lord forgets about it. The moment you offer repentance, he takes it, the white out, and he covers it in the blood of Jesus, and it makes it white as snow. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah! You talk about freedom in the house! Freedom in the house. Sometimes you gotta wipe off the kitchen table before you can eat on it. Hallelujah. Let's rejoice in the Lord. God is up to something good. Hallelujah. Yes. We're called by his name. Hallelujah.
We humble ourselves.
Oh, yes, Lord.
As we pray.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Renouncing everything.
Yes. Join us tomorrow evening at 6 p.m. It's going to be a great time in the Lord. I just sense a tremendous change in the atmosphere. Oh, things are going to be different. So, Father, we thank you for your word and your Holy Spirit and how they work together to produce life in us. Lord, we give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great and awesome day. If you can, join us for fellowship in the kitchen. We have food, so it's available to anybody. So God bless you. Have a very Merry Christmas.
And if we could just have all the leaders right up front in Pastor's office just for a minute.